Okay, thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is 3:20. What are we? 3:26 p.m. on Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. This is work session on case number PU-20-194, Keith and Deanna Kessler versus Elite Incorporated complaint. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Christman, before I turn it over to the portfolio holder.
Thank you. I do not have any opening comments either.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Fedorchek, I will turn it over to you.
Okay. Looks like I'm connected now. I don't know. I usually don't have trouble with this, but it's been kind of glitchy this afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. I think we just have a couple items of business today to keep this case moving forward, a couple decision points. And so to lead that discussion, I'm going to kick it over to our staff attorney, Brian Johnson, and then we can ask questions and discuss as we go. Thank you, Brian.
Sure. So where we're at is we have the complaint, and then we've had a revised complaint, and then that was followed by a motion to dismiss. And so where we're at now is really what issues are there and need to be discussed moving forward, and what are we going to look at? The complaint has 12 issues. When I really look at it all, I see one issue, and that issue is, did Minnesota Power improperly determine that Section 15 residence was unoccupied? All of the 12 issues that are pointed out either are just different ways of coming at that or the same issue, or it's a remedy that they're asking about or wanting to see, or it's just something that isn't relevant at all. But so basically what I'm looking to get from you guys is guidance to put together an order so that we can move forward. Once we have the issue that we're going to move forward with, both sides will be able to tailor their discovery requests and needs and get ready to move forward after that happens. So I guess that's what I'm looking here for today is what you guys' thoughts are. I see it as one issue, and that would be the issue and direction that I would move forward with in drafting an order, along with whatever else you guys have for me.
Brian, do we have to also make any kind of a decision on the motion for partial dismissal that was filed by Minnesota Power?
I think what I'm talking about is dealing with that too. So that order could address that as well, and it probably should.
And what are we ordering? I guess I wasn't expecting it to be called an order.
Well, I guess maybe I'm misspeaking, maybe I'm mislabeling it. But basically, it would be a determination of what issues the commission is going to look at moving forward.
Okay. Pat, is that typically called something else? Or have...
I guess what I was thinking was that we would do a notice of hearing, and the notice of hearing would specify the issues.
Okay.
And maybe that's what you were thinking as well. But... I would have called it a notice.
Okay, that makes more sense. Notice from here, which is maybe basically an order on this as well. I just don't have as much flexibility in my mind with some of these legal terms.
Probably is the right way to categorize it, but.
Okay. In terms of direction, from my perspective on having read through all of this, I do think a hearing is in order. I think that I would agree with the partial motion to dismiss on those issues that were outlined. I do see those as being outside of our jurisdiction. But I do think that there are legitimate issues to discuss and have addressed through a hearing. And you summarized it as one issue. Can you say that again, how you would phrase that, Brian?
Sure. What I see the issue is did Minnesota Power improperly determine that the Section 15 residence was unoccupied or uninhabited, whatever the language is in the order or law that applies here. They keep referring to it as the Kessler residence. I think it's a slightly confusing, as I believe the Kesslers have another residence separate from this one. So I guess I categorize it as the Section 15 residence because I think that eliminates that confusion.
Okay. And then does that question get into the question of when and if the company had information about that property in relation to the siting process?
Sure. I think it does. I know that was one of the issues that was highlighted. I think that's one that falls underneath this one. The discovery process is going to allow both sides to get the information that each has regarding what everybody has about what was said and done, any email, things like that. That is a large part of what's gone on here is what was said and done and how things came about. So I think that is included in that issue.
Okay. Brian and Randy, you guys have questions or thoughts on this?
I have one procedural question related to the formal hearing, which I'm supportive of. The pre-hearing document, the pre-hearing conference document, I think it indicates, here it is, the hearing is expected to take place no later than October 30th, 2020. So from a timing standpoint, we're September 3rd, something to keep in mind. But is that not an absolute from a scheduling standpoint, or it is?
No, that's fairly flexible. There's already been discussions and agreements on extending discovery deadlines and things like that so that there can be, there's a talk of some depositions happening and other discovery type things. So I believe discovery deadlines been moved to end of October, if I remember correctly. So it's fairly flexible. That was just the guideline laid out to give everybody an idea at that time of how we thought things were handled.
Okay.
Also, keeping in mind that we want to bring this to resolution and we don't want to drag this out with months and months and months of discovery, et cetera. So that deadline was set
correct
by us to keep the, not by us, but by the judge, I think, with encouragement from us that we want this to proceed, as quickly as reasonably possible.
Yep, that's right.
Commissioner Crisman?
Well, and to weigh in on that specific topic, I guess I have, on that specific thing, the timing of it, maybe more concern for the Kessler side than for Minnesota Power's side. I don't know that their world changes much from month to month, but coming from the same background as Mr. Kessler, if cattle feeding is a big deal. And so if it's his side that needs more time, I'm more sympathetic to it. But if the other side is dragging this out, I'd be very upset and making it inconvenient for him to be able to participate in a hearing when winter sets in. So,
sure. And so far, things have been going smoothly. I can say that. I think everybody's been pretty flexible with certain things, and so far things have been moving along well. So, not a concern yet. But I do agree that we want this to move as quickly as possible.
I have some other questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Brian, you mentioned, I believe, 12 requests for relief, and I only ever saw 10. Am I missing something?
I guess in the there was a revised, when I went in and looked, I went in and looked at the revised complaint that was just docketed, I believe, earlier this week. And I don't know if the numbers were different between those two. I guess that's the one that I was looking at.
Okay. Well, either way, I'll try and get that to coordinate, because frankly, the motion to deny 4 of them, the numbers in the motion to deny didn't seem to correlate with the numbers of those actual requests that I could put together anyway. But I will say that on those 4 topics that there was the motion to deny on, if we end up at our next meeting with scheduling a hearing and list the things that we intend to have the hearing about, and it doesn't include those, do we need to also make a decision on that motion? Is that something that's hanging out there, or is that just something that we either take an action on or don't take an action on?
Sure. I think we can, and Jack might have disagreements with me on that. I'm 100% sure, but I guess I look at it as when we put out the notice for hearings, we're doing that having looked at the Kessler's issues, Minnesota Power's request to dismiss some of those, and whatever we come forward with, I think does say that you know, we did dismiss those, or we are looking at them. But if you guys are more comfortable with a more direct statement of if we're going to disallow all 4 of those, we can certainly draft the notice that way.
Okay, well, I don't...
I'm getting some clarity here. We need to determine those... determine and in an order provide a decision on the motion for partial dismissal. So that would probably be the order you were talking about earlier, Brian. And then we can clarify, we don't do it in the same thing, a notice of opportunity and the issues to be determined. And typically how that's happened in the past is staff has kind of drafted the issues, and I think we've looked at them and then, you know, made that determination in a here, you know, when we do the actual notice of hearing. So, and approve that. So does that make sense that we would do those? These would be separate, that we would make the determination on the request for a motion for partial dismissal. We'd make that determination first and then go into following up with that a notice of hearing with the issues outlined. Pat, does that
make sense? Yeah, that makes sense. And I would have no...
I have some different, some additional thoughts that I'd like to share, I guess. Are we making a determination? Like, I'm thinking that we should decide whether there was a violation or not before we determine the remedies. But it seems like the motion to dismiss.
Don't we need a hearing for that?
Well, that would be part of the hearing, would be to talk about the remedies. But can we
If there was a violation.
And if there was a violation, right?
Well, but I think the point of this is to eliminate some of the things like that might not even be jurisdictional to us so that we don't have to discuss them in a hearing.
Yep. That's what I'm...
Constrain the scope of the hearing.
That was the next part of my question, and that's why we're doing it, I guess. So then, I mean, there's all kinds of... The document could be a combination of an order and a notice or a separate notice... Separate order. But I think you could have order and notice of hearing as one document if you wanted to.
Well, I will just say that on this notice to eliminate the four particular items, I someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see where we have jurisdiction to set up a reimbursement to the Kesslers for damages or for attorney's fees. So I guess I'm feeling like I'm okay with eliminating those two items. I also do not see where we would have jurisdiction to prohibit Minnesota Power from further operations in North Dakota that aren't in violation of anything. And so I think that could be eliminated. And on the survey of landowners, I don't know, I guess I could see where we maybe have jurisdiction, but I don't really see that it's helpful on this particular case because some other landowner being upset about a washout that was left on their property or something doesn't really impact whether this turbine is too close to a inhabitant residence. And so three of them, I think we don't have jurisdiction, and one I don't think is helpful to us. So I guess I would be supportive of eliminating at least three, but if there's support for it, even all four of them.
And Brian, that's the point you're making?
I guess, that's the guidance I'm looking for. And I think that Commissioner Christman is accurate in his description of those. I think if you guys really wanted to do a survey of landowners, you could. Is it relevant to the case and issue here? I don't believe so.
I agree with that as well. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I had to call in. I gave up on the video.
You're frozen in time on the video.
So have your picture.
So
if you don't object to that, I think we could move on to what we do want to discuss in the hearing.
Yeah, I don't object to that. I would, three clearly, I think, in my opinion, and the fourth. But I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. Obviously, there's a core issue of was a residence unoccupied or not at the time. So, Brian, I think you have direction on that, correct?
I do. And I guess, is there any, with the split out issues, with the eight remaining, is there any that any of you feel really strongly about including well, or are you okay with the more general, was it properly categorized as uninhabited and then basically move forward from there? And that doesn't, I don't think that limits us from looking at any of those other issues. So, but if you want more clarity, I can include that.
Brian, from my perspective, I wanted to make sure that whatever we outline gives us the opportunity to hear whether the company knew of the impacts, the potential impacts at that site, and failed to disclose them, regardless of whether it was, regardless of the determination on whether it was habited or not. If they knew of potential impacts and that the landowners were concerned about that location and the impact it might have on their future use of that property, and if they failed to discuss that, I want to make sure that that's included in the hearing, the questions of the hearing.
Yep, and I think that's, you know, that's, we can definitely ask those, or I think that's going to come out during the hearing, but when I'm working on this, I will attempt to word and phrase it so that that is a clear objective of what the hearing is looking to determine.
And
very good.
And coincidentally, after studying these various documents that have been filed throughout the summer, I came to almost pretty much that exact same conclusion. And I don't know, Brian, whether it's best to list these other 6 or 8 requests for relief as a guidance. I think it can be much more general, more like what you said, although I didn't really copy it down necessarily accurately. But something about whether they improperly constructed a turbine that was within 1,400 feet of an inhabitant residence. But then, like Commissioner Fedorchak just said, the other thing that I've been thinking of is it could potentially go beyond that, whether or not that was inhabited at the moment. Were they aware of adverse impacts that it could have on someone at the time of the issuance of the order? They should have told us. And so I think that is something that definitely needs to be explored in this hearing and is going to be very important.
Okay, I think I understand that, and I think I should be able to draft something I think that will cover both of those issues, and it'll still be fairly general, but it'll make sure that it's clear that that's the framework that we're working on and the goal that we're trying to take.
And I think with that, those two things really cover the other requests for relief that were made and that aren't, you know, other than the 4 that we're going to, I expect, deny.
I agree.
Okay, so, and this is repetitive and redundant, but so the 4 that will be dismissed, the remaining issues will all essentially be on the table for consideration during the hearing process, correct?
Yes. I guess that it goes back to my belief that they all fall underneath what we're looking at anyway, and will, I believe, be covered or answered through the hearing.
Okay.
We've used a couple different terms here. I think the confusion between whether there's 12 or 9 gets down to there were 12 issues identified by the Kesslers and 9 requests for relief. So basically, I think that's where the difference comes.
Okay.
And I think we need to be in the request for relief outlined by them. The ones that we would be, in my opinion, denying would be number 6, 7, 8, and 9. That's the survey of the landowners prohibiting Minnesota Power from further operations in North Dakota,
reimbursement for damages incurred, and reimbursement for attorney's fees.
And Julie, can I just interrupt right there? In the April 27th filing from the Kesslers, those are numbers 6, 8, 9, and 10. So if we use the numbers, we've got to be careful.
Julie, are you going on docket number 14, the second revised complaint, I'm assuming?
Yes, because that's the one we should be following.
Okay, so if we're on that one, then...
I think we agree on which four it is, but we just got to be careful not to categorize them by numbers because they've had various numbers.
Or identified from Exhibit 14. Yeah, good point. Our docket number 14, now I threw another term in. So.
I'm still following you, so I'm clear.
And Brian, this is...
I think that's it for what we need to cover today, but...
I'm just curious, Brian, do we need to communicate them, or do we just expect the parties to understand that this is going to be a formal hearing process, and someone coming in and saying something was... occupied or used, or the other side saying what was in disrepair and unoccupied. That evidence is important, you know, pictures of something that are dated, or electric bills, or do we need to communicate to people, or do we just expect that they know that we need evidence when there's something in dispute?
I guess I'm not concerned. I think they're pretty well aware. I would imagine that we will have another pre-hearing conference after we get done issuing the notice of hearing and whatnot to make sure that the discovery deadline stays on track and that everybody's okay with that, and look at it if anybody needs extensions. And, you know, the discovery process should provide each side with hopefully the evidence that they have that exists to put forward so we can have a good hearing. I don't know that we need to spell it out necessarily, but I think the pre-hearing conference will probably help clarify a lot of those things.
And is the discovery, like when, if Minnesota Power has questions for the Kesslers or the Kesslers have questions for Minnesota Power, as advisory staff, Brian, are you always involved in that? Or do they do those things between themselves?
A lot of it will go on just between the two parties. My understanding is Minnesota Power wants to do a couple of depositions of Jack and Jerry. So I would imagine that I would participate or at least be aware and part of that exchange. I guess exchange of other things, I would imagine that I will receive copies of as well if they have emails or they have other things. I might not be directly involved in that, but I will end up with what they have. So I'm involved, but maybe not. It might be a little bit more direct between those two parties.
Okay. Thank you.
Mention something on this topic? Both parties are represented by legal counsel, and I think it's fairly important for them to determine their best case and for us to not tell them what they should be bringing forward to us in terms of evidence. That's their attorney, John.
That's a really good point.
Okay, Commissioner Fedorchuk, is there any other items? Since again, it's in your portfolio, Anything else you would like to pursue?
No, I think we've covered it.
Okay. Commissioner Christman, anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, and I'm good as well. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. This work session is adjourned.